welcome to your Friday post-game. I'm your host, Malcolm Fletcher. Joining me, as always, Dave Kohler, of course.
And as and always, once every year, Brett Ehrlich.
Yeah, in the Steve-O seat.
As sometimes, Brett Ehrlich.
You're sitting in for Steve. Steve is where? He's not just like blowing us off this time. He's legitimately out of the country. What is he doing? He's in Germany right now?
He's in Germany. I think it's a YouTube event.
Is he with John?
John Ehrlich.
John's here today.
Well, no, he's not.
I saw him this morning.
No, but today is tomorrow. You see, it's actually, we're recording this on Thursday.
Oh, was he gone already? God, I screwed that up.
We're recording this on Thursday. No, we like to let them know. And so we've missed whatever calamitous events have happened since Roger Ailes died. But we do know about that.
Right.
But that's not really a calamitous event.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. So Brett agreed to sit in. He's going to play all our games and do all the fun stuff we do on the Friday post game. But we do record on Thursday, so we apologize for whatever we've missed. But we hope you enjoyed that panel. The power panel was very powerful.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm still reeling.
It's just one great point after another.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, I mean, for most of you, we were like, come on, move it along. I want to hurry up so we can get to the Friday post game. But nevertheless, I thought they did a great job. And, you know, don't disparage them just because whatever they did is not going to be as good as what we did.
I get that.
What we will have done. I got some tense issues here. So we're going to play some of your favorite games. First, I want to, what did I wanted to do? I wanted to mention that we're coming at you from the Sierra Gorda Biosphere. This is an image taken from there, which
is the. Oh, it doesn't look Gorda.
So that's
It's in a, it looks it's nice in those
dome?
Pants.
No, it's not. No, it's not a dome. It's just referred to as the Sierra Gorda Biosphere. Not because it's enclosed, but just that's the term they use for it.
And Pauly Shore lives inside it.
Oh, I only wish.
For a hilarious hour and a half.
And Stephen Baldwin, right?
Yes, good call.
Yeah.
And you know who else is in that movie? Jack Black. Kyle Gass, Tenacious D play outside. It's their big break.
Biodome is the film that Brett is.
Oh, I always read it, Biodoomy.
Yeah. Did they make a sequel?
Hopefully.
So it's the most ecologically diverse region in Mexico, and it was established as a result of grassroots efforts. It's 250 square kilometers of territory, and it was established in 1997 on this date, 20 years ago, so we're celebrating that event.
Felicitaciones, not just grassroots effort, but tree roots effort.
Hey, there you go. Maybe we'll get a Don Francisco impression out of.
Maybe later. Maybe later.
Okay,
get a few Perriers in me.
The other bit of inside baseball is earlier today when we recorded, not Friday, but Thursday, we had a little mini celebration for your co-host on Pop Trigger, Sam Shocker, because she is allegedly.
Yeah, she swallowed a watermelon whole, or she's pregnant. And so we're going with the pregnancy thing because her boobs also got bigger. She talks about it on the show. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And she's keeping us abreast of all the other developments in her life, which are fascinating. I've never, known someone. I guess I've seen pregnant people, but fewer as ready to share the miracle of pregnancy as Samantha Shocker, who says stuff like your nipples get darker and bigger so the babies can find them, like because they're so stupid. The baby's like, I don't know, just something dark.
Okay,
so all that stuff's happening. So touching stuff like that happened, as well as like boring stuff. Like everyone threw a shower for her today, a mini shower, got her stuff from her registry, and she is so close. She's 3.5 weeks away from giving birth.
She seems pretty upbeat about it.
She's one of those people who get every other pregnant woman probably is mad at her because she's just gaining belly. Oh. She's so in shape because she walks and stays active, and supposedly that helps.
Is she enjoying her pregnancy? Like some women it's brutal and awful, and other women just can't get enough of it.
She's not one to complain really ever, but she is kind of communicated that she has to stand and sit intermittently because she can't do either for that long in a row. So it's very obvious that she's feeling some discomfort, but she says she has a really good pregnancy pillow, so she's not uncomfortable when she sleeps. And follow her on Instagram because she's also like starting a mommy blog.
Oh yeah, she's gonna mommy blog the hell out of that.
She's doing a show. We just had someone on a show. She's doing an episode. I'm just plugging her on my appearance on Awestruck, where it's a nursery for $1,000 or less, and they come in and in a day give her a new nursery. And it's amazing. We just saw clips from it today, so check it out.
All right. Very good. But this is Pop Trigger is Brett's show. What else do you do on the network, Brett?
Shot a Facebook original yesterday. Should be up today. And it's about just telling Trump that while he thinks this is the biggest witch hunt in history, there were actually witch hunts in history that rather than getting like stern talkings to from Jake Tapper, are involved throwing you in a river to see if you float or die, and then they set you on fire. So just kind of showing him in a way that doesn't scare him, that doesn't one-up him, It's a very friendly way to communicate. But this is a Facebook original that gets pretty serious at the end.
Yeah, I noticed
because
that.
You told me that you can't be that funny.
Yeah, I told you to tone down the funny.
Don't be that silly.
Nobody likes funny.
People like a stern talking to.
I'm not sure that's what I said, but no, we look forward to that. You can see that on Facebook and all of our other Facebook original hosts, including Hassan, Francis, Hannah, Anna, Sprain. I even do them occasionally. So, Dave, when are you going to do a Facebook original for us?
As soon as I'm invited.
No, there's no inviting. There's
Really?
Invite. You just do it.
Oh, then I'll come up with a topic and do one.
Could it be about maybe about a recent obituary? You could steal your thought. You could create a whole new package.
Or I could introduce a new audience to my standard fare.
That's you could blow up on Facebook, Dave, because you've abandoned Twitter, haven't you?
Kind of, not deliberately. I just haven't. This, same way I've kind of abandoned this. I just can't get a moment.
I get that, man. You're busy.
We used to have
more than literally anyone else. I think you have responsibility.
We had for so many years only one woman working here. Now we have so many and two pregnancies at the same time. It's
weird. Not okay.
It is okay, but just haven't gotten used to it. That has nothing to do with why.
Have you switched your you're thinking on maternity leave and those issues? It's good that the United States, we offer virtually no maternity leave compared to other developed nations.
California does.
We outstrip the U.S. average requirements, so we're okay.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Yeah.
It is. It's fantastic. I was on a Cobra for a while.
Here's my question to you, young man. How old are you now?
3,500 years old.
Okay, and you have a longtime girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you have a coworker who is very pregnant.
Yeah.
And often this leads to consequences at home.
Freeways? Mm. What? Sorry, I got lost there. What?
So is there any pressure on you coming, whether from your significant other or parents or anything like that, to for you to get on board, get on the baby train?
From her mom. It used to be like, have a baby, I don't care if you're married. Now that we are engaged to be married.
What?
Yeah, it's real.
Now
everyone else knows.
I think I did know that.
I said it already on the show today. But yeah, so I the pressure is moved to like, when are you getting married?
Okay, yeah.
And that's worse, I think. Because like, it's this ethereal, when are you having babies thing, whatever. But now it's like, oh crap, I have to plan a wedding.
You have a date set?
No, I don't know.
So we have another coworker, I'll tell you off air who it is, but she's been engaged for I think like 8 years, and that's the kind of thing that I think your mother-in-law maybe is wary of.
We're engaged to be common law married.
That coworker who's been engaged for 8 years is in the building right now.
I'm exaggerating, but yes,
Evs for Evs, like Pam and Roy.
Okay, it's
engagement.
Bart. It's Bart. No.
No. Bart does not agree.
All right, let's move on.
I do not agree.
When I walked into the studio, I was greeted by this enormous effing clamp. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, we did all those fundraisers and we gave away cameras. We named cameras and chairs and desks for people who donated. I bet someone would have given good money to have this clamp.
Ideally, if you are named Clamp, then
this clamp, you don't corners. Often come into contact with a clamp like
no,
this.
No, you don't.
And maybe you don't want to.
You don't. What
Dave's going to be busy the rest of this show because he's playing with his clamp.
No, I'm going to put it aside.
It's just for drying giant
pants. If anybody, we still do take donations at tytnetwork.com/donate. And if you want this clamp in your name, I don't think there will be much competition. So
now there will be.
That is like the
God, you're
the
so most, good.
The most unwieldy, like, the like worry balls and things you
can put see. A Dave's like, sticker right here with
or
the name.
Or in the. In the like 70s and 80s, there were those little springlet things.
Hell yeah.
Like this.
It was like the Thighmaster for your hand.
Yeah. Now you don't see those so much anymore. I guess people don't feel like they need to have really super strong hands. Or we all do from twisting coaxial cable.
Right. We have strong fingers and not hands. I guess my forearms are swole enough. Like, look at how big they are. Not ladylike at all.
Huh. They're very manly. So let's move on. I want to give you a quick update on the Niger Delta Avengers situation, which I know is a hot story and we haven't covered in a while here, so you're probably pretty antsy about it. The situation is they've come to some sort of agreement with the government, and for those of you who don't know, the Niger Delta Avengers are a militant group, there they are, who have...
Which one's Iron Man?
They've been... I know, it's great, isn't it? That's why we cover, because the name is so fantastic.
It's the best branding.
Yeah, and there's also like 20 other groups that are similar, with all have great names in Nigeria, but this is the major one that's been detonating bombs and attacking oil installations throughout Nigeria to get the government to negotiate with them, to clean up, ostensibly to clean up the areas that have been despoiled by all the oil production. But in reality, it seems like they're just maybe extorting money from the government, because Nigeria's president Muhammadu Buhari has approved an additional $111 million for an amnesty program for militants in the Niger Delta Avengers who have been responsible for an uprising in the oil-rich Niger Delta region. And so since the past 3 or 4 years, or since 2009, I guess, they've been attacking these installations, and the country's oil output fell to about 700,000 barrels a day. From where it was over 2 million barrels originally. And the oil is the major source of income in Nigeria, so it was serious. The crude oil sales make up around 2/3 of the government revenue in Niger. So this is an amnesty. They're not going to throw any of these guys in jail, and they're going to start paying them off to stop blowing up like Shell oil platforms and the
Maybe
like.
Maybe they'll do interviews now. We'll get one of them on Skype.
We really should. That's a good one. I should work on that. But okay, so we're going to move on from there to everyone's favorite segment. You remember
great
this.
Great update, though. That was a good update.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people ask about it. This is what's funny is, and I've mentioned this on the postgame before, is occasionally I'll get a Lyft driver who is from Nigeria, mm-hmm. and I'll start asking him about, the situation, Nigeria, the political situation, the Niger Delta Avengers, and I get two responses. One is, how the fuck do you know so much mm-hmm. about it? I mean, most people don't even know, could never heard of Nigeria.
Because I am one.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other is just to act as if it's perfectly normal that this random guy that they picked up is asking him all these specific questions about Nigeria and the Niger Delta
Avengers. But this might be the last update you ever give then.
No, this is going to be an ongoing back and forth. The government eventually will stop paying them off. And then, I had kind of had higher hopes for the Niger Delta Avengers that they were actually more concerned about the environmental consequences of oil production in the Niger Delta region. But it turns out that may not be entirely the case. But we're going to move on from that. That's old news. We're going to move on to new news, which is what's going on around the world in the segment we like to call Weekly World News. Weekly World News.
And whose voice is that again?
It's a very highly professional voiceover. I mean,
beautiful.
It is a great, great service.
That's the next American Idol.
That actually half of the tytnetwork.com/go campaign.
Right.
Went to paying him off. I was supposed to hire these journalists. A lot of it was blown on this voiceover actor, but I think it was worth it.
You say blown, I say invested.
Well, you say blown as if it's a bad thing.
No, I haven't said blown in a while. Continue.
Okay, so the way we play is simple. I scour the globe for news stories that I find of interest, and then I put them into a multiple choice quiz for Brett and Dave, usually Steve and Dave, and Steve has been doing relatively well recently, so the pressure's gonna be on Brett to keep up Steve's winning streak.
Just before we begin, what do these symbols mean? Mm. What do these symbols mean? These seem to be.
Have a child, and you will get intimately familiar with all the alphabet.
Which one is it? As in banana? Okay, continue.
So let's go to the first one. Comes to us from Tunisia, which we all know is in northern Africa, right? Right? Yeah. Is that where it is? There it is.
Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt. That's the top.
Do you have a mnemonic device to help you remember those?
Motley, for sure. That's it.
Okay, so what's the story coming out of Tunisia? And the question is, what is the question? There's the map, there's the question. What are the so-called red devils currently plaguing Tunisia? Are they A, an offshoot of the Libya Dawn Islamist group that has been staging attacks on border towns in southwestern Tunisia? B, a species of reddish-tinted jellyfish that have devastated the country's already depleted tourism industry? C, an invasive insect killing the nation's palm trees and decimating date crop harvests? Or D, the roughest, toughest, orneriest outlaw biker gang in North Africa? The so-called red devils. This is a long one. I apologize for the length, but it's worth it to get to the truth of the story.
Phrasing.
Are you playing along at home?
I'm really torn here.
Do you have your guesses?
He apologizes for the length. And I'm really torn here. Phrasing, are we not doing phrasing? Okay.
All right, I need answers.
Yeah,
we need answers.
I got it.
All right, so Dave says C, Brett says B. What is the correct answer, Irma? The correct answer is C, an invasive insect killing. Wait, Irma, I got to read the whole thing because people who are podcasting need me to read it aloud. An invasive insect killing the nation's palm trees and decimating date crop harvest. So, what is the story here? We have now we're going to clip out screen grabs from the story, so we should have that one up already. Irma, there it is. Panic over the red devils. So, what's the story? It potentially could cost hundreds of thousands of people in Tunisia their livelihoods. They are these little weevils, red weevils. And they are attacking, yeah, that's what it looks like. They are attacking the palm trees and killing them all over, especially in, they begun in the wealthy suburb of Carthage, which still exists. I didn't know that.
No.
And it's still wealthy. Yeah.
The Carthaginian hordes.
Exactly.
Also, LA Confidential sells red devils. That's a line. Because a guy over there sells red devils. That's it. It's a drug.
So I didn't think to include that as a possibility. Some people believe that the former dictator of Tunisia, Ben Ali's son-in-law, may have brought this invasive weevil to Tunisia and planted them in the area of Carthage, which is near the around the, because the trees right around the presidential palace started dying first. And but since it was during the tumultuous Arab Spring uprising when these trees started to die in December 2010, January 2011, and the infestation has continued to spread, decimating palm trees in the north and gradually encroaching upon the vital crops in the south where lives depend on dates. Tunisia, it turns out, leads the world in date exports.
Yeah.
They have 5.4 million palm trees within the country, and they're apparently are at risk from the spread of this little weevil.
I hate
that. Tunisia is already reeling, not only from a large trade deficit, but tourism revenues have flatlined because of there was an attack on the beach in Tunisia. I don't know if you remember that a few years ago. That was, not a lot of, but Tunisia has a large tourism industry, especially from Europe, I believe. But apparently they don't like to go to the beach and to get shot. So fewer people are contributing to the tourism industry in Tunisia. And so they have widespread unemployment. But date exports are vital to the economy. Much like oil in the Niger Delta, which is on the other side of
what's happening that part with of that. Africa. Do you have any updates on that?
You're going to have to rewind and check back. Check back next week. Maybe there'll be another one.
Interesting.
Which is and sort of unfortunate because Tunisia is one of the few countries that came out of the Arab Spring, emerged with better democratic processes in place to actually fulfill some of the hope and the promise of the Arab Spring, unlike what's happened in Egypt and, well, Syria, obviously, and elsewhere. So it's a little disappointing that this is happening. But they're going to do whatever they can to check the weevil's spread, and that includes thermal and acoustic imaging to various traps and lures. And so we'll just have to monitor this story closely and see how Tunisia's date industry does and whether an already screwed over region gets even further screwed over.
I think they'll manage to solve it. I want to... This is asking a lot technically, but can we go back to the answers? Is that possible?
Ooh, Irma, we're
this is a God, real Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. An offshoot of the Libyan Dawn Islamic group that has been staging attacks on border towns in southwestern Tunisia. But as we just saw from the map, Libya is on the east side.
That should have been southeastern Tunisia. Yeah. Do these in super hurry. I scramble to get these things done, so I apologize for that error. Thank you, Dave.
Tunisia is long and narrow. The distinction between the west and the east is probably not.
But I meant east because east is what touches Libya.
Yeah.
But it's wrong anyway, so.
So it's wrong.
Did you notice that at the time?
Yes.
I like Algeria and Libya because it's like Al and Libby. They're like neighbors. Like my friend Al, my neighbor Libby.
Yeah.
Let's go get some tuna. They come over. Yeah.
On the subject of trees, I was reading. They do these surveys of the trees in the U.S. And there was a survey done of East Coast trees, and where the center of the geographic center of the population is, and there are certain species that in something like just 20 years have moved 80 miles west and north due to the influence of global warming.
Really?
Which is stunning for a tree population to move 80 miles that quickly. It's just one more out of the thousands of pieces of evidence that things are changing.
Yeah. We've also decimated various species. I mean, I don't think are there any... like elm trees were devastated by Dutch elm disease, I remember, in like the 70s and 80s. And then I don't think chestnut trees, they're like...
devastated a century ago or whenever it was.
But what
decimated is when they used to kill 1 in 10 people.
Yes, and now it means destroy. I mean, we have a whole different section on language usage and whether that's appropriate.
Is this total etymology or total entomology? I don't know, continue, sorry.
All right, let's go on to the next question, which comes to us from Jordan. Jordan
Chariton?
Not Jordan Cheriton. Jordan the Nation. I couldn't get a good map of Jordan. I'm sorry.
No, I can see that.
Pretty awful. I apologize.
I can see that you took it from an Amiga computer.
Quickly go to the question, Irma, and get that terrible image off my screen. The Azraq refugee camp in the Jordanian desert holds what distinction? Is it A, it's the only refugee camp in the world run entirely on solar power? B, more than 250 graduates from the camp's makeshift high schools earned college scholarships abroad for the fall? C, a majority of the camp's businesses operate on an experimental currency created by the UN for exclusive use by camp residents? Or D, no one there has any idea who Justin Bieber is?
Well, that shit's impossible.
That would be awful. I mean, these people have enough. Haven't they suffered enough? All right, you can come back and figure out what the, I think we have our answers. We have our answers. Dave says A, and Brett says A also.
Yeah, right, that seems so.
Irma, what do you think?
If it's C, I'm going to be mad at Dave.
What is the correct answer? It's A.
Yes.
It's the only refugee camp in the world run entirely on solar power. So you're 2-for-2, right?
Yeah, I'm back.
You're back,
baby. Unprecedented. You're good at this, and I suck at this.
Good.
I'm learning things about myself.
I'm not sure this even exists as a thing to be good at.
Can we go back to that wide shot? Look at that great map.
Get rid of that map.
Where did you get that great map?
Go back to Mexico.
Did you draw that?
Go back to Mexico. With
in
that map.
MS Paint?
Take that terrible map with you. All right, so what do we know about this Azraq refugee camp in Jordan?
That's
terrible. Get rid of that back.
Leave it. Keep it all day. It's the worst map. It's like
the map
40 pixels wide.
It's not like the map. There's nothing wrong with the actual map.
Yeah, that's just great. This was drawn on a light bright.
It's the resolution. I wish. That would have been
and
better.
And that red circle is frightening. It's like,
what are you doing?
So are you targeting?
Where were you like, that'll do? Like, what happened in your mind? Were there no other maps?
Well, we have a large team of people who work on the Friday Post Game production staff, and we're working in a new graphics guy.
Gotcha.
And so he's only been with us for about 6 months now, so it's still in the probationary period. This is not going to help, but I like that right behind my head. Look at that right there. It was just Benghazi, a big Benghazi right behind me. So, all right, what's happening in this refugee camp? It's the first and only solar-powered refugee camp in the world. And families of 20,000 refugees there can now connect their fridges, their TVs, their fans, and have light inside their shelter and charge their phones, according to the UN's refugee agency, UNHCR. It's a 2-megawatt solar, and we have images of this. Wait, are we supposed to go to the next? We're supposed to, yeah, get rid of me. Go on to the screen grab of the article, Irma.
Look at him direct and host
there
at the
is,
same
yeah.
time.
These graphics are also terrible. They need to be smaller. But anyway, so, and we have an image, I think, of the solar, the photovoltaic.
Yeah.
So it's just this giant plant farm that the UNHCR has been working with the IKEA Foundation Brighter Lives for Refugees campaign, which provided the funding. And it's located in the desert region of northern Jordan. They only had sporadic access to power since the camp was constructed in 2014. Back then, the only source of electricity came from solar lanterns. And now, they all have electricity thanks to solar power. And because there's an abundance of sun, even though it's an arid region with harsh weather patterns. So it created about 50 jobs for refugees in building it. And they expect annual savings of $1.5 million on electricity. And they will reduce carbon emissions by 2,370 tons per year. So it's a win-win. Also, if the war were to end and the refugees got to go home, the solar farm could be connected to Jordan's power grid and serve residents across the country.
Because it's from the IKEA Foundation and you disassemble it with a hex wrench.
So about 660,000 refugees currently reside in Jordan, and this country has been forced to come up with a number of innovative ways of dealing with their refugee population. I found this really interesting. Iris Guard, a Jordanian iris scanning company, which is one of many, I'm sure, partnered with UNHCR to connect its biometric registration system to the database of refugees living in Jordan, and then it set up eye scanning machines at ATMs and supermarkets across the country so that refugees scan their irises with Iris Guard, and then the UNHCR can confirm their identity and they can access their cash and food assistance within seconds. And which is, if that were in the United States, we'd be like, no fucking way, privacy, but these people are refugees. What are they going to say, no? I mean, you know,
I don't even know what the word is in like for no there.
Arabic?
So yeah.
Yeah, that's the critical point though. So that's what's going on in the refugee camp. Very well done. The other two were not even removed.
Well, no, I was going to make a comment about the other two. Okay, did you pull those from somewhere? Because they were very interesting. I'd like to read the story that the other two come from.
What were they? Can you go back to the question, the answers, Irma?
This is the second time in a row we've asked
I don't know
to go
anything about
the
where did you get this map?
Yeah, the map is good. I want to stay on the map. No, the Justin Bieber.
If the UN is using an experimental script, that's fascinating. And if refugees are getting college scholarships,
those are totally made up.
They're in the school of hard knocks if they're in that camp.
We should make it a goal to write a news story and then call upon the TYT audience to fulfill it.
To make it happen?
To make it happen.
Yeah, we have that kind of power, I'm sure. The Friday postgame show, all 19 of our viewers can.
Hey, I think there's more than 19. I think you need to have faith in you, Malcolm.
This is not an episode of Card Sharks.
You're going to believe in yourself. And then.
You explain your answers,
you
know.
If you build your
I'm
going to
go higher.
Yeah.
All right, enough with this goddamn map. We got to move on. Let's go. Where we're going? We're going to Venezuela.
Now
we're in.
Shit.
We're in Dave Kohler territory.
What's the
question? Do you know what the question is?
No. Something shitty, though.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro recently compared his nation's politicians to what oppressed group? Was it A, Jews living in Nazi Germany, B, slaves in the American antebellum South, C, dissidents in the Soviet Union, or D, Christians in the United States?
D is not a funny answer.
It is to Malcolm, and that's all that matters.
You think Christians in the United States are an oppressed group?
But it's something a crazy leader would say.
I don't know that. I think it's...
It's not that wild and crazy.
that Maduro would compare his
wild
suffering
and
to
crazy
the,
Maduro.
There's guys go on Fox News who say Christians are oppressed.
Right, I know, but I'm joking because they're not. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they are. They're oppressed. Malcolm, that's such a Jewish thing to say.
This is,
just kidding.
You know what's a really Jewish thing to say?
What?
Mazel tov.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are our answers? What do we got for answers? We got a B,
slaves in the antebellum
South. A. So let's see. What is the correct answer? We can't be both A and B. The correct answer is A. Jews living in Nazi Germany. All right. So now you can go to the story. You can show us the story, Irma, and I will. I'll see if I can find out. Okay. What did he say? There it is. There's Maduro, and. He likened the harassment of government officials and their families outside of Venezuela, specifically to the treatment of Jews under the Nazis, and said that planned opposition rallies in Caracas on Wednesday evening were reminiscent of rallies during the rise of Nazism and fascism in pre-Second World War Europe. Let's see the actual quote there. We are the new Jews of the 21st century that Hitler pursued. We don't carry the yellow star of David. We carry red hearts that are filled with desire to fight for human dignity, and we are going to defeat them, these 21st century Nazis. So, what's interesting is that, I don't know how well you know what's going on in
Venezuela. It's not good.
There's militias.
No, but
there's rough stuff.
What's Nazi Germany? I don't know what happened in Nazi Germany.
What's happening is that.
Well, I saw this documentary on it, and the Nazis all are trying to get this lost ark. They're raiding it.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ones, they're on this last crusade. And then there's this hole in the middle where the Nazis aren't there and they go to get some Temple of Doom. And then it's Russians, but that movie sucks.
Russians?
In the fourth one.
The Crystal Skull?
Yeah, it's all Russians.
Jeez, I saw that movie, I don't even remember. It had Shia LaBeouf in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preeminent nasal.
Okay, with regard to this story, the country's in disarray and there have been protests. But this is specifically related to family members of and elected officials abroad who have been attacked verbally on the streets by Venezuelans. There's been a diaspora of Venezuelans because of the economy and anybody who could get
That's
out
Jewish.
Left. And so they've been assailing government officials and criticizing them. And that's what he's referring to. So Venezuelan emigres in countries ranging from Australia to the United States would shout insults at public officials and in some cases their family members in public places. And as you recall, the late leader Hugo Chavez was also inclined to make the occasional anti-Semitic comment And so he drew criticism for that. So it's good that Maduro learned the lesson from Chavez that he wasn't doing it enough and wasn't going far enough.
Right.
He's going to actually compare the suffering of government officials getting yelled at to Jews during the Holocaust.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is something he shouldn't have said.
Right. So, well, no. So I'm going to do I'm going to break out with a spontaneous episode of Totally True or Totally Bullshit in the middle of Weekly World News.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the proposition.
So ballsy.
It is a good thing that Nicolas Maduro absurdly compares Venezuelan politicians to oppressed, persecuted Jews from Nazi Germany, because it continuously revives and reminds people of the horrors of what Nazi Germany did to the Jews, and it helped us not forget that.
I agree.
Totally
with you
true
there.
Or totally bullshit.
I agree with you there. That's actually, now I'm on your side. Yeah, here's the thing, is it seems like I kind of glazed over. There was such a specific justification he had for that statement. But you can say in this way, in this very specific way that that we're being treated, it is similar to the way the Jews were treated in Nazi Germany. But and that might hold up. But
when? Who?
Like,
for whom?
But like some people say, well, in certain ways it's similar. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do the in certain ways it's similar, because when people just hear your statement, it's impossible for them not to go, oh my God, you're the worst.
But Christians in America, people like Pat Robertson will say things like this about how Christians in the United States are persecuted like the Jews.
Well, that's what I just said at the beginning of this.
Right, but it's ridiculous, much like this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The
comparison is ridiculous.
I'm going to say, totally true, and it's good that he did. Just like when George Bush compared the Iraq War to the Crusades,
or Sean Spicer said
it's worse than Hitler.
Right.
I'd say comparing things to Hitler is worse than Hitler.
It reminded people of the Crusades, the horrors that the Crusades, consisted, or what happened during the Crusades,
right,
and the indignities the Crusades subjected the people of the Arabic speaking world.
Yeah.
So basically, what Maduro was saying—that was a long quote. But what he's basically saying is never forget.
I watched this documentary on the Crusades.
Totally bullshit.
And in this documentary, this guy robs from the rich and gives to the poor. And this guy owes him a life debt, and he's Morgan Freeman. I don't know how Morgan Freeman was alive back then and now. But it's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It's Friday. Sorry.
All right. Well, we've got to get back on the plane and travel somewhere else. We've got to leave Venezuela. And where are we going to go next? Where's the next stop on our Weekly World News tour? It's
Laos.
What is that country? Yes, that's correct.
Laos.
It's the only country in the world that is also the name is a homonym for an egg of a flea.
If there were two of that country, it would be lice.
It would be lice. Yeah,
got
it's
it.
Not a flea, by the way. It'd be lice. A louse is eggs are nits. A louse is a single lice.
It's not louse.
It's a homophone.
I'm sorry for all you kids, the people who are teaching your kids homophones, homonyms.
What's synonyms. Between a homonym and a homophone?
Just how they're treated and if they're allowed to get married.
Homina. So, okay, what's going on in Laos, Irma? We want to know. How are some Laotians dealing with portions of the tons of ordnance left in the country after the Vietnam War? Are they A, repurposing unexploded grenades for so-called blast fishing?
Great answer.
B, melting down old shrapnel to be refashioned into eating utensils? C, selling undetonated explosives to the Rohingya rebels in neighboring Myanmar? Or D, very carefully?
So here's the thing, D is probably quite accurate.
Yeah.
You can't tell me D is not the answer.
But D is never the answer, so no, D is not the answer.
Okay.
But D could be by getting their asses blown up every day.
It's a legitimate answer, but it is not, I get all these.
The question
questions from news, actual news stories. There's no news story saying Laotians handling unexploded ordnance are handling them carefully. So you have to figure that's
but they probably are. Let's hope.
Well, some of them.
The
maybe
question
are,
is:
maybe
is Malcolm crazy enough to make three of these answers A?
All right. What is the correct answer? We have a vote for A.
Wait, shit! Put them back up.
What are they again?
Now Brett's gonna.
No, I was gonna do.
Based on my answer.
I was gonna do this.
You have an A and a C. Let's see. What is the correct answer, Irma? Is it A? Is it B? Is it C? Is it D?
It is a great answer.
B, melting down old shrapnel to be refashioned into eating utensils.
That one, I was like, that is a stupid answer.
Bart is so happy you got to play that sound effect, aren't you, Bart? You like that the best. We were so happy when they get them wrong.
Today.
So what's this? Bring up the story, the story graphic. There it is. From the Irish Times, Laos Village takes novel approach to recycling explosive. It's specifically the village of Ban Napia in the Zheng Quang province of Laos. It's become known as Spoon Village because of the huge volume of shrapnel that is gathered daily during unexploded ordnance clearance in Laos. So if you don't know, Laos was a victimized during the Vietnam War terribly by explosions of American bombs that were dropped during the Vietnam War because Laos is a neighboring neighbor to Vietnam and was used as part of the Ho Chi Minh Trail for traveling of both people and
And now
military.
They make a beer called Beer Lao that you can drink if you want to seem interesting.
Okay. So so there are 20,000 refugees living in the, I don't even know, right, here it is, okay. So here's the story. So they collect all this unexploded ordnance, and sometimes legally, sometimes not illegally, but there are 3,000 people currently working every day to collect this unexploded ordnance. It was, let's see, the numbers were, I think it was 270,000 pounds of explosives were dropped on Laos during the Vietnam War. I'm trying to find my
And they're melting them down into the indigenous Lao eating utensil invented there, the spork.
270 million bombs were dropped on the country. Some 80 million of these remain unexploded in the ground. So 3,000 people on any given day are in Laos, and yet civilians continue to be killed and maimed by these unexploded ordnance.
That's
true all over the world.
Yeah.
So 95% of what they find is shrapnel. The rest are live devices, among them cluster bombs, mortars, and grenades. And so in this particular province, the rule of thumb is, or what they're guided by, if they find it in a farmer's field, they give the whatever the shrapnel it is to that farmer, and then they detonate the ordnance elsewhere. And
very careful.
But it's not just utensils. They turn into lamp bases, buckets, flower planters, and even boats. But we have an image of the spoons that, this is some of the other things that they make.
Wow.
Raptor, the shrapnel.
Raptor claws.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They do it
artistically. Across the belly.
It's a craft.
Or maybe.
It's also interesting. They take the exploded shrapnel and turn it into grenades, which are what they originally came from.
And look at that. That's a beer opener to open Beer Lao.
Well, they sell it to tourists. So tourists go,
dude, that's awesome.
American tourists.
I want that.
Can you imagine your American tourist going to this part of Laos? This is a guy making the spoons.
Smart.
So, this is one family between, there are two people in this one family. They make 800 spoons a day.
Awesome.
They also, some people make jewelry. Emma Watson appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show wearing earrings made from shrapnel scrap. But some people question the ethics and taste of objects of war being turned into necklaces and earrings.
What are you talking about? That is a triumph. That is a great way to repurpose it. That is art.
The translator describing, or who took this, the journalist out for the story, joked that the local people refer to these shells as souvenirs from the United States. Which is
that's powerful.
Black humor.
Yes.
But it is difficult not feeling uneasy at seeing objects of war turn into paid photo opportunities for tourists, he says. But okay, now the downside.
It's better than humping statues.
You know, that's an argument a lot of people make.
Thank you.
People in other parts of the country are still being killed, maimed, and injured by unexploded ordnance, however, and this has happened to some of them because they are motivated to search for scrap for profit.
That sucks. That's
and not everything
point.
They find is safe. But when you're poor, and if you're aware that scrap metal has some value, it's difficult to stop looking for it. So this is like sort of a feel-good story, but sort of a feel-bad story.
That sucks. And thanks, Malcolm.
It's unpleasant.
Yeah. In balance, it's a feel-bad story overall.
Overall, it's, I mean, they're but yeah, well, one takeaway, and this is maybe not wholly appropriate to consider, but 270 million pounds of explosives dropped on Laos by the United States during the Vietnam War. 80 million pounds of them remain unexploded on the ground, which is a super shitty success rate at exploding our own ordnance.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, like this, it just reinforces the idea that defense contractors are just taking the money from the government, making what they make, and they set up, and there's no quality control over how much, how effective these bombs
right.
are. They just drop them, they explode, they don't explode, who cares, we still get paid.
Yeah.
I know that shouldn't be the takeaway from this story, that more of these bombs should have killed more of these people, but like, how many Laotians and Cambodians and Vietnamese lives were actually saved by the shittiness of American manufacturing.
Only to have some of them explode unexpectedly decades later.
In the balance, it's probably not so great. You're right. But to all of you who are out there trying to collect unexploded ordnance and get shrapnel in Laos and elsewhere, please do be careful.
I saw a documentary about the Vietnam War.
Okay.
The forest was so fast at running.
Oh boy.
Can we go back to the answers? Please, seriously, I have a comment.
We're back to the answers again. But Irma, we're putting you through your paces, Irma.
Sorry, Irma, it's not my fault.
But I wonder where we're going next.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna go back
to
the answers.
We've done that one.
Was that Austria?
We need all the answers though, not just the winner.
I think it's C that I have a comment about.
Yeah, go back one before.
Yes, so if C had been true, that would have been the Laotian equivalent of the Iran-Contra scandal.
I thought you were gonna you're gonna comment on whether I got the direct. Can you identify on the map where Myanmar is?
Myanmar is the one that used to be Burma, and it's entangled with Singapore. It's the one that
That's Malaysia.
Oh, you're right.
Malaysia is the one that's on a peninsula and an island. And on the island down there, that's where I want to go because they have this giant orangutan sanctuary. Oh man, that'd be
fun. Yeah, Brett was just down. I don't know.
I'm going. I was just on Koh Samui. So and then I'm going to Japan.
Myanmar is right next to Laos.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's Myanmar is the big one right sort of south west of it. And then directly south is what?
Malaysia's down on that peninsula.
Must
at the
be
bottom.
Cambodia.
That's Cambodia.
Cambodia not so small, and Siam not so big.
Siam. Wow. Good job. Way to go.
Siam. All right. Anyway, so let's move on.
We got that in the King and Dave.
We got a lot more to get to. We got one more question, and it's usually a little lighter. Number five. We're going to Austria.
Yes.
That's where that is.
Or as I call it, backwards Czechoslovakia.
And there's no such thing as Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, anymore. but if you take them together, it's backwards.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, Irma, what's the question? The British ambassador to Austria recently claimed to have been attacked by what?
I hope it's an insect.
Was it A, a wild boar in the countryside, B, a pack of feral dogs in a city park, C, a group of street mimes who refused to give money to, or D, frugal fever?
Are you sure? C should be D. And where's the one that says neo-Nazis attacking Jews?
Yeah.
It's Austria.
I like it to be a little lighter.
Strudel fever.
That's it a can't great
be
song.
Killed. Well, you know what? It has to be.
What is it? What is it?
C, because the ambassador would not be in a place where there are wild animals.
Two guesses of C. What is the correct answer, Irma? Correct answer is A, a wild boar in the countryside.
Well, then I question what the British ambassador is doing in the countryside. That's not where the capital is.
Probably
maybe
on a fox
you'll
hunt.
Find out. If you just let me, you know, explain.
No,
now, so go to the graphic
it.
Of the. Of
oh,
the,
you do have it. Cool.
Okay. So there it is. There's a wild boar. And so the Lee Turner is his name. I believe we have an image of Lee. He took up his post last August.
Yep, he is English.
Oh, his name is Lee.
Good God.
And
sir, you got hit.
He revealed that while walking in woods English near stick. Vienna earlier this month, he was chased by a massive specimen. That was your nickname in college,
massive
right?
specimen. It was ironic.
And sustained minor injuries. He claimed that when he was turning a corner, he found himself face to face with a group of four or five hulking adults and countless piglets. I assume he means adult boars, not.
If it was countless piglets, that has to be thousands of piglets.
Well,
like he'd be like nine.
He could be a really slow counter. He says he turned and walked away slowly, but moments later he heard a noise behind him like a galloping horse and turned to see a massive wild boar head down, charging straight at him. It's a tense scene. This could be one of your documentaries. He tried to escape by climbing a pile of tree trunks, he said, but slipped on the wet wood, scratching and bruising himself in the process. By the time I turned around, the boar had trotted back to join the rest of the group, which was melting back into the forest, he said. All my minor injuries were self-inflicted. The boar never made contact. So they didn't have to go out into the countryside to find the boar and euthanize it, which is what we would do here in the United States. So what do we, you got three, right? Two? Three?
I think we're tied.
Two?
I think I got two.
You got two?
Yeah, because I was down one and then I tied it up. Before we go on, I saw a documentary about this and it killed King Baratheon.
Yeah, I was thinking of working something like that into the question, like what the scene from Game of Thrones was replayed by the Austrian ambassador.
Except that scene in Game of Thrones was not on camera.
Good point. Yeah, but the documentary is kind of largely about the fallout. Largely about the fallout of a wild boar attack.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
some, yeah. and I
mean,
know.
None of that, that set it in motion. The boar was the catalyst, fifth business, as
which
they say.
A boar cat.
All right, so we got to quickly get to Weekly World News.
Why does an ambassador live in an embassy? Shouldn't an ambassador live in an embassy? That's all.
So let's go quickly to Totally True or Totally Bullshit. We'll get us through as many of these as we can. Sorry, we didn't have time to add you, Brett.
No one does.
Or Dave, for that matter.
No one does. Yeah,
so,
you only.
Irma, I think I'm going to skip the first one, and we'll just go straight to number two because we're on a time crunch, and this is timely. This comes to us from Steve-O. Yeah, it's okay. No, you can leave it up. Steve-O sent this in from Germany. Was that today? Here's something. So, okay, Trump will be out within 30 days. So, Steve-O posted this to Twitter.
When did he post? It's very important.
Well, yeah. So now it's only we're down to 29 days.
Okay, so one day.
I thought about making that, putting an asterisk and everything. So, that is the question I'll put to you, Dave. Since you know how to play this game, you remember how to play?
Sure.
Yeah. We have to answer these questions with either totally true or totally bullshit. And our motto here at TTOTB is we don't do nuance, and then we do nuance. So. 30, you got 29 days. Trump will be out in 29 days from now.
As bad as it is, things don't go that quickly in politics. Totally bullshit.
You say totally bullshit. I say totally bullshit to what you're saying, that things don't go that. I mean, they don't generally, but everything in the Trump administration has been ramped up to
11. Yeah, but the impeachment proceedings are run by Congress. The Senate has to make up the rules of an impeachment.
He doesn't say impeachment. He just says he'll be out.
Resign.
Maybe he wouldn't resign. There's no frickin' way he'll resign. He'll claw and scratch his way. He'll dig in like that. He'll just plant. He'll just plant and go limp, and they'll have to carry him out, which they'll need a crane to do.
Maybe, I don't know, Steve, it was a tweet, so it was short, so maybe he just meant out golfing, in which case it's totally true.
Of the closet, perhaps. Ooh. Who knows?
Yeah. You think he and Bannon?
Yeah, hopefully.
Like, they got an odd couple, so
thanks,
you know.
And I want to thank you for making me picture that.
You're welcome. So so you got totally bullshit, you got totally bullshit. I'm going to say totally bullshit also, but I think he will, I would say he will more likely resign than he will be impeached. Because I don't think it would be too humiliating for him to be put through the impeachment process. He would want to claim to be in charge of his own destiny and would resign before that happens. Steve, let us know what you think from the road, whether you're positing this, so you must think that it's possible. Maybe you think it's totally true.
I'd let him stay in the White House if I get to see the P-tape. Like, I'd trade, just stay 8 years if I get to see that. Num, num, num. All right, what's next?
The next one comes to us from a reader, a viewer, one of the Proud 19, and his name is J.K.M. Young, and he sent this to us. He put it in the message board of last week's show. If Trump gets impeached while Republicans are still in power, his huge ego will force him to tell his supporters not to support Pence or the Republicans. Totally true or totally bullshit. So I'm going to start with you on this one, Brett.
Intriguing. Totally bullshit. Because he won't talk about anyone else but himself when he's on his way out. Like, he won't even have the wherewithal to talk about anybody else that's staying behind. Total bullshit.
So you're going to say he's not going to care. He's not going to try
to
burn.
He's just going to, yeah, no.
They took him down and he's going to take them down with him.
Now you're convincing me to your side. But I said bullshit, so I'll stick with bullshit.
Okay, Dave, what do you think?
I think it's half true. That's an interesting proposition. But he'll take down the Republicans, but I don't think he'll talk badly about Mike Pence.
I'm going to go with totally true, and he will also talk very badly about Mike Pence because he values loyalty. And if Mike Pence,
I don't think Mike Pence will be disloyal.
You think Mike Pence will say no, he should stay in power?
I think by Trump's definition, if Pence is loyal, he will also resign along with Trump.
Right, he should, but he has no integrity. That's crazy. He wouldn't do that. But so you're saying that Pence is going? I think Pence is going to privately would go to Trump and say, "Listen, you gotta resign."
That could be.
And then Trump will turn on him because he's disloyal. That's why I think it's more.
And then Trump will say, "Here's when you knew about the Flynn investigation." No, there's no way that Trump knew any of that shit.
So we have a totally. Bullshit, a half true, and I'm gonna say a totally true.
You've won me over.
Thank you, J.K.M. Young, for your question. And I encourage you all at home or wherever you are, to give us suggestions for Totally True or Totally Bullshit. I might take, I might not. But all right, the last one's sort of just a fun one. The space behind your seat on an airplane is yours. So if you want to recline, the person sitting behind you should not be allowed to stop you. Totally true or totally bullshit. Now, this is something that we have all dealt with. I think with anybody who's flown.
Yes.
That there are people who will jam their knees into the seat in front of them to keep the person from reclining, will intentionally make it unpleasant for the person when they recline. There is even a device you can buy that attaches to the armrest that
really?
Will block the chair from reclining because you feel that's your space in front of you, and then, you know, you're practically like, you know, a dentist, you know, performing some sort of oral surgery on them, although dentists don't perform oral surgery, so I apologize.
They can.
No.
They shouldn't. They're not allowed to.
No, not legally. So, but they never stopped any of us, right? So, but then at the same time, the seats recline. So it's not like the person, you get to recline the seat in front of you if you want to let them. It's right next to you. So, but you travel a lot. You were bragging
I
about
do.
It earlier.
I do travel a lot. How is it phrased again?
It's phrased.
It is your room behind you. You can recline if you want, correct?
Yes.
Yes, totally true. Anyone who says it's bullshit is terrible and the worst person. That's it.
Dave, what do you think?
I think it's totally true. I took a flight last week and I reclined and the person behind me tapped me on the shoulder and she was Chinese and didn't speak English, but she told me to move forward. And I didn't want to fight with anyone and say move forward and I just...
Was she like Yao Ming's mom that she had her knees up in the back? Like they're wrong.
I don't know. They're wrong.
Listen. If you can't get mad at the person in front of you. The person in front of you has a reclining seat, as do you, unless you're in front of an exit row. In that situation,
or in the against the
or
back
in the back of the plane,
next to because you get that's the benefit. But you get to be next to the bathrooms, and you also can't recline.
I flew on this airline in Spain called Vueling, and Vueling is like they had little like cutouts in the seat in front of you because the seat was so close that the cutouts were for your knees.
Wow,
like it was in your gooch, and. And so in that situation, in those situations where the reason you're angry is because you don't have enough leg room, you can get mad at the plane layout, but you can't get mad at the person in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I
or
think
be richer.
Yeah.
Just get a first class seat, you poor idiot.
Yeah.
Have money is the answer.
Go out, go to Laos. Go to Laos, collect some unexploded ordnance, sell it, and buy first class tickets back. So I'm gonna weigh in and say, yes, the room does belong to the person reclining, but it's the airline's fault for doing this because they have, you know, cut down the amount of space in front of you. It used to be when we were younger, at least me, I remember that you could recline. Someone could recline in front of you, and it wasn't that big a deal. But now they're right in front of your face, so I don't recline ever anymore.
Yeah,
because I feel it's an invasion of the person's space, and I think people shouldn't recline in general. If the person reclines in front of me, I don't say, "Hey, buddy," you know.
Right, don't do that.
Be like sort of launch them, you know, into the next seat if they don't have their seatbelt.
It sounds like
on.
You're just avoiding conflict, but you're contradicting yourself.
No, I'm saying they can. I don't like it, but they can. I'm not. I don't want to tell the person they can.
But you don't want to do it.
But I don't do it myself. And I think that the airline should. The seats recline because they used to recline back when there was enough room to do it, and so people came to expect it. And they also don't want to clue people in. Hey, by the way, it's pretty obvious now. You don't have as much leg room as you used to. So we're still going to make reclining seats, but the reclining seats, it's thrown because they've restricted the space so much. It's thrown off the whole equation.
Yep.
And this balance where, you know, you can recline and I can recline, we're all happy. That's out the window. And so, yeah, I know, we gotta go. But I think that it's the airline's fault and we should be angry at the airlines. But I would say just don't recline because it's not fair to the person behind you anymore, even though it used to be.
But it's totally within your right.
Yes.
It's not your fault.
But there are all sorts of things that are within your rights to do, but you shouldn't.
Yeah,
do
but
anyway.
I don't think it's insensitive to recline. I think it's okay to recline because what is a person's face forward like this? Like you shouldn't be sitting like that. The knee thing is the issue. And it's not like the leaning back impedes your knees.
Oh, the tray comes in, you know, if you want to be on your laptop or the tray is right up against you now.
Your homework before you get on the plane is what I'm saying. I just think you can't get mad at the person in front of you. You can't, don't push them forward. You're making them more uncomfortable. Lean back like they do. That's your right to do, but you can be upset, but don't push or do anything.
I didn't say that I do.
Stew in it silently
you're
until you die.
You're arguing with nobody.
Correct.
So, all right, we got to go.
Is this Sierra Gorda?
$100. TYTNetwork.com/donate.
Thanks so much for watching, guys. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you sitting in with us. Thanks to Brett Ehrlich, Pop Trigger. Not going to have a baby anytime soon. And as always, as I like to say here on the Friday Postgame Show, stay strong.